The Gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11 and finishing at verse 32, and can be found on page 990. Just before I start the Gospel reading, it's worth remembering that Jesus has been with all of the tax collectors and sinners. And the Pharisees were muttering about how Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. And this is the third parable that Jesus tells after the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And now we come to the prodigal son. So hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and it's found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray as we open up God's word. Father, we ask for clarity, faithfulness, and boldness this morning. Holy Spirit, do the work that only you can do in every heart here, including mine. And as we bring Heidi to the waters of baptism, let this psalm be the ground beneath her feet and beneath ours as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Here is the whole sermon in one sentence. God is not counting our failures. He is running towards you. Amen. Now, they would be shocked at this point, because we've got another 25 minutes to go on my sermons. No, of course not. Dave smiled too much there. The whole sentence in the sermon. God is not counting our failures. He is running towards us. Most of us carry the quiet assumption about God that we can't say out loud. That he is watching us, keeping a record of everything that we do. That his patience has a limit, and we, most times, are very close to it. We assume that the distance between us and God grows wider with every failure. And this morning, as we bring Heidi to the baptism of waters, a sign that says the opposite to us. That before she has done a single thing to earn her salvation, God's grace is already reaching her. And Psalm 103 was written to correct those quiet assumptions that we have. So let it, this morning, correct ours too. Look at how the psalm begins. David is not speaking to God. He is actually speaking to himself. He says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." And he says it twice. Because left alone, the soul forgets. It forgets the good and remembers the guilt. So David preaches to himself first. "Forget not all the benefits that I have received." And that first benefit that he is preaching to himself is forgiveness. We see it in verse 3. Later he tells us how far that forgiveness reaches. As far from the east is from the west. So far he has removed our transgressions from us. Verse 12. You see, north and south meet somewhere. But east and west never meet. You can travel forever and never arrive. And that's what David is telling us. Reaching for the only image that's big enough for what God has done. How does north and south meet? Well, you've got the North Pole and the South Pole. You get to the North Pole, you've arrived. But try go, where does the east and west meet? And here is the tension. We know how to relate to God who keeps score. That's a God that we make. Every good deed earns a point. Every failure loses one. We imagine salvation like trying to stay above the pass mark. That God is manageable. That we can negotiate with him. But verse 10 says he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. That is not a manageable God. That is a God who has already settled the account. Somewhere else, at the cross, Jesus was dealt with according to our sins, so that we would not be dealt with according to those things that we have done or haven't done. And verse 8 tells us where this character comes from. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Those words were first spoken to Moses, right after Israel had built a golden calf and worshipped it. God did not reveal himself as gracious to people who had earned it. He revealed it to people who had just betrayed him. If God had waited until Israel was faithful before revealing his grace, well, we'll still be waiting today for that. The same compassion Jesus put into a story was heard in the gospel in Luke 15. A son wastes his inheritance and comes home rehearsing a speech about becoming a hired servant. He has already calculated exactly what he now deserves. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion, and ran. Fathers in that culture did not run. But this father was not thinking about his dignity. He was thinking about his son. The son is still talking about becoming a servant, while the father is already restoring him as a son. Psalm 103 isn't simply describing the heart of God. In Luke 15, Jesus shows us what that heart looks like when it starts running towards sinners. And then we move to verse 13. As the father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Why? Because he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but just dust. God is not surprised by our weakness, and we are the ones who forget that. We hold ourselves to a standard God never asks us to hold ourselves for. We assume that our failures catch God off guard, and they don't. We are like grass. We are like the flower of the field, here today and gone tomorrow. The psalmist does not use our frailty to condemn us. He uses it to explain God's compassion. A father does not despise a child for stumbling. He expects it and catches him. Let me go back to that father. He saw his son while he's still a long way off. That means that he was watching for months, scanning the horizon every evening, not with suspicion, but with longing. And when the boy finally appears ragged, ashamed, smelling of the pigs that he had been feeding, the father did not wait for an explanation. He remembers what his son was made of, and he runs anyway. That is a difference between a judge and a father. A judge waits for the case to be made. A father runs before the case is even opened. And we don't hear of a lecture. We don't hear that there's a probationary period. But we hear that there is a robe put on him to cover his shame, a ring given for the sonship that he thought he'd lost, sandals put on him for the dignity a servant would never wear. Every gift that was given covers exactly what the son thought that he had lost. That is not sentimentality, that is precision. A father who knows his son's frame and answers it point by point. So what will that look like on a Tuesday afternoon when we're back into reality? Well, first, remember David's habit. Talking to your own soul. When you are carrying yesterday's guilt, don't just feel it, preach to it. Forget not all of his benefits. Name them in your life. You are forgiven. You are healed. You are redeemed. And you are crowned with glory. That is not denial. That is discipline. And second, for Heidi's family, and all of us standing with them today, this psalm reminds us that God's steadfast love reaches the children's children. Verse 17. Baptism does not manufacture that love. It declares it. It says out loud what God has already promised, that this compassion is not a generational gift. So as Heidi grows up, knowing a father who has already run the distance before she is old enough to think that she needs to earn it. So here's the call this morning. If you felt so far up and you don't know God and you're returning and you've been rehearsing the speech, working out how far that you have fallen and what you now deserve, stop rehearsing. God is already running. Just come home. And if you already know our Father, then do what David did. Just bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. We can live our lives punishing ourselves, thinking that God is a distant God so far away. And I have done exactly that too many times and for too many years. We need to understand the heart of the Father, that he has also given us through the Holy Spirit, that he turns our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, that we are not condemned by the bad things that we do because Jesus has paid for them upon the cross once and for all. What we must learn to do is not to repeat those bad things, because every time we do, Jesus takes them on the cross. God is waiting with open arms. He's a Father who loves us and not condemns us. That is the scandal of grace. That is what David was telling himself. And sometimes we just need to tell ourselves every morning, I am loved, I am forgiven, I am redeemed, I am crowned. I am a son, I am a daughter of God. I am forgiven and I have received his grace. She's just practicing for about 10 minutes time. Heidi this morning has entered into that. Not just a family of Dave and Lucy, but a church family. Not just in Chaffetz and St. Giles, but across the world, who believe this ultimately. So let us take that. Let us know that. And let us live that. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you do not deal with us as our sins deserve. We bring Heidi to you now. Mark her as your own, and also mark us again too. In Jesus' name, amen.